I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We'd like to acknowledge the Kaurna people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded and produced.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay now, from the beginning.
The beautiful
nightmare.
Welcome to The Beautiful Nightmare. It's the podcast for when you're flying by the seat of your pants. You're with Chanel and Tamara.
Yes, great to be back. Fresh off of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. What a bloody hoot.
It was a hoot. We'll talk about that in a second. And there were some funny things that happened that on the plane on the way home, Chanel was like, isn't it funny how ...
Yeah.
We nutted out a few ideas for this episode, in fact.
We sure did. And the lady who sat next to us was probably so bored and then got annoyed that I needed to go to the toilet once again.
And we had to move all the way up the damn aisle so you could get out.
Well, it wasn't me. It was the other man that was coming back from the toilet that said, if you just move, you just shuffle back, I can get to my seat. But you and the lady went back.
20 seats.
And I stopped caring about you because I was off to the toilet. I went, oh, she can just do this kind of like Michael Jackson moonwalk back down the aisle.
It's a bit like that. And then I was looking over her shoulder watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's what she was watching. And I was trying to do that thing, you know, where you're
creeping on like, her show.
You're looking over your shoulder, just looking in. That's what I did. But we did come up with an episode.
I wish she would have caught your eye doing that. I wish she would have looked at you and just kind of given you the old, why are you watching what I'm watching? You can't hear it. What are you doing? It made you feel real awkward. That would have been good fun.
That would be good. I wouldn't have cared. In a sick way, I wanted her to catch me. Oh. Anyway, this episode is all about faking it until you make it.
The beautiful
nightmare.
Quite literally, just got home yesterday from Saturday and Sunday, spending it in Melbourne. First time we've left Adelaide to do a show, apart from Mount Gambier. This was our first big city show.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was so much fun.
Loved hanging with these Melbourne rat bags.
And all these listeners also that we'd never met before.
Yes.
It was amazing.
That was really nice.
So cool.
You know, we're going to Sydney in 4 weeks. So that's the next one, May 4th. Put it in your diaries.
Come along.
Get your kids looked after. Tell your other half that they're either welcome to learn something or just let you go out for a night of fun banter and shits and giggles.
Bring your mates. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Sydney, May 4th, that's happening. But just pulling back to Melbourne, because this was the first time we've, as I said, gone into a big city to do our live podcast show.
Yeah.
And it was great. You do have a little bit imposter syndrome because you're like, oh, far out. You know, there's a lot of big comedians there. So you
What's this crowd going to be like?
Yeah. And what then afterwards meeting people, which was the best part of it in my opinion, and getting that lovely feedback.
Yeah.
People loving the show, which was really great.
Except for one person. Just pause there. We have a moment in the show where we throw something out to the audience.
Don't want to spoil it for the Sydney
okay,
goers.
I'm not going. No, you won't spoil it at all. We throw something out and you're meant to catch it, right? Most people get that.
Most people did get that.
Except one man who clearly it looked like he'd took a wrong turn at Albuquerque and found himself in our show. He must have been like 65. He was wearing a parachute tracksuit and he had these glasses on and he just looked scared stiff for about an hour. And we threw this thing and it just hit him and he had no reaction and it just fell on the floor.
Wow.
I was laughing so hard.
All these other sensational women, and there was a few men there too. They caught it. They loved it.
Yeah. It was so good. Sorry, interrupt you. But yes, that was one little funny thing that made me laugh. But yeah, back to imposter syndrome and being on the live show.
Oh,
and then
yes.
After the show.
Well, after the show, we had listeners coming up. It was just the best meeting and squishing these beautiful women. And they were saying, you know, you did a great show. That was fantastic. We loved it. We laughed so much. And I, for some fucked up reason, didn't know how to take it because I thought if I turned around and said, yes, I know you had a good time, that's incredibly up
yes,
yourself.
Yes, I know you had a good time.
And then if, because I seen you laughing.
With a straight face.
That's
yes,
right.
I know you had a good time. Now, goodbye.
But if on the other side you straight away, I think it's an Australian thing, but I think it's a female thing to dumb that down.
Deflect.
You want to play it down.
Yeah, you do. You deflect.
And it's so lovely to receive. So please say those things again.
So you can practice being,
thank
you.
So I can practice. But I sucked at it. I immediately wanted to say something bad about myself in that moment. And I do that, forget the show, I do that all the time.
If someone says, that's a nice jumper, you go, oh, this is cheapy from Kmart.
Yes.
God, it was on sale even.
Your hair looks nice today. I washed it.
Yeah.
It was dirty. Should have seen it yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
Or you rubbish your children when someone says how well behaved they are. Oh, yeah. You should have seen them this morning.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Wait till bedtime tonight. Like, oh, my God.
You need to be better at just going, yeah, that's
I
right.
I don't know how.
Or thanks. Just say thanks. Just leave it at that. Practice saying thank you. Yeah, it's a hard
okay,
thing to do.
You give me a compliment, I'm going to do it now.
You're a batshit crazy lady.
That's not a compliment. That is not. We're going to teach you how to give a compliment. Try again.
Okay. Look at you, Chanel. You look like a beam of sunshine right now.
Thank you.
You also want to still hit me, don't you?
Because like she's not being genuine when she's saying it. But at the same time, it's hard to say thank you because then straight away we go, she's up herself.
Well, you can't win. I heard Brooke Shields talking about this and how she was saying that she can't talk about how – if she talks about how grateful she is to have her life and the money and things like that, then she's an entitled bitch, right, who's boasting about, you know, I've got all this money. But if she says, oh, look, plays it down, no big deal, she's ungrateful.
That's right.
She should be grateful for what she has. It's you cannot win.
So unrealistic to meet these margins. So I was talking to a friend, Kylie Aldis, I'm going to say absolutely South Australia's best soul musician. If you want a good soul vibe and tunes, look up Kylie Aldis. She's amazing. She was at our Melbourne show having a great time and she said to me, it's really hard to take compliments on your art form too. She was talking about that. And someone she knows is the best saxophone player in Australia and they had her flown over to America. And the Americans take compliments differently to what the Australians do. They're probably a little bit more welcoming to that because they feel more comfortable in their own skin, I'm going to say.
Things are a bit more black and white there too.
That's right.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Call it what it is, yeah.
Correct. And she said this saxophone player was in front of these music bigwigs and they said, we're looking for the best saxophone player for this performance. Are you the best? And she went, oh, pretty good, like that. And they went, well, we don't want pretty good. We want the best. So she lost that gig and they looked for someone else.
Without even getting a try.
But she was the best. She was the absolute best. You weren't going to find someone better than this woman standing there.
But she didn't believe she was the best.
Didn't know how to be up herself there. Not up herself, but seem more self-assured.
Yes.
And in that moment, they looked past her because she didn't sell herself enough in that moment.
That's right.
How tricky is that? And she was the best.
Yeah.
She wanted her art form to speak for itself.
Yeah. Well, that's when you need to, I think, in that case, separate yourself from the art form and go, well, what I offer, the thing I do is the best. Look at it. This is what I can do.
But they dismissed her before it got to that.
That's right.
That's what
but
I'm also saying.
Especially in the art industry, or maybe it applies for a lot of places, but you want to employ someone who's going to tell you that they can do the job. You don't want someone to go, oh, I kind of know.
Yeah.
But they know they can. No one can read your mind and know that you're just, you try not to pump yourself up. So
it's difficult.
There's no time. Tell me you're good at it or not. It's like in an audition. You know, you tell them, I'm really, really good, but, you know, I didn't do a very good job in the audition. They're like, I don't care. That's what I heard. Done. Finished.
Exactly.
Right. I don't care what you sound like at home in front of your mirror.
But the tricky thing is, the minute we're a little bit more self-assured, we get tall poppy syndrome. We get Jentelog syndrome, or whatever it's called in Scandinavia, where they want to be humble and, you know, and play it down and let the work speak for itself. But in some instances, we sell ourselves real fucking short.
We do. And that brings it down to faking it until you make it in this instance, because sometimes you need to take a lot if you're that kind of person.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, to get it out of your face is hard, to say, yep, I'm very good.
Yeah, you can't say it because you're fearful of what someone – it does come from a place of humility. It absolutely does.
Yeah.
But I am excellent.
But I think we need to trust that if you are genuine in as a person, you're not narcissistic generally speaking, you can still say that and people are not going to look at you like you're an up-yourself arsehole.
Mm.
It's okay. They're going to see you are genuine.
Yeah.
You know.
They're going to – I've literally seen them turn around and say, Tamara, you are an up-yourself asshole, as you've turned around.
Yeah, that's right. And then I've gone, yep, that's true. I'm admitting it.
I'm an up-myself asshole.
And a good one. I'm very good at it.
Good at being an asshole.
Yeah. At least I admit it.
Do you know something? Here's a fun fucking weird fact.
Yeah.
The first thing to develop on an embryo is its asshole.
There you go.
Did you know that?
No, that's weird.
Yeah.
Not a brain?
It's asshole.
Really?
Yep.
Is it true? Did you Wikipedia that?
No, it is true.
Oh.
I heard it from somewhere very reliable that I can't quote now.
Oh, no, like Chanel.
I guarantee, don't you
please
start.
Please someone Google that.
No. The first thing on an embryo to develop is its asshole.
Okay, I'm looking that up. Don't quite believe you, but you do say that with a lot of confidence.
I am confident, babes. Don't you worry.
Looking it up right now.
The beautiful nightmare.
So the definition of faking it till you make it, fake it till you make it means to consciously cultivate an attitude, feeling or perception of competence that you don't currently have by pretending you do it until it becomes true.
Okay. Manifestation is another lovely word that goes in there too.
It is. Yes, it is. And I think this is where it gets a bit dicey because people can confuse these two things.
Correct.
Right? Visualizations. And it's one thing to act one way, like you know, you actually own a Lamborghini and start lying to people and saying, my Lamborghini's just in the shop, like some people do. And then
it's a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, because you truly believe it's true. Oh, yeah, my mansion that I just bought. Like just outright lying. You can visualize those things at home, but then live your life.
Isn't that funny?
Some people use it. They do. That's really.
And they start calling things a Lamborghini and then most of us will turn around and go, you are delusional.
Yeah, that's right. Case.
But that word fake it till you make it, it's in the word fake. And it's triggering for a lot of us because we're going, oh, we don't want to be, you know, fakes.
Yeah, you want to be genuine. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about, the difference between those two things in different parts of our lives. For example, the first thing that comes to mind usually when we say fake it till you make it is in your job.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, fake it till you make it.
I'm probably a very good example of that because I was given an opportunity to do a job that I knew I could do. I knew I could MC, but when I was asked, can you do this? They never said, have you done it before? They said,
right,
can you do MC?
Two different questions,
exactly.
Chanel.
And I chose to answer one, not the other, because I thought I can do it, but I just need someone to give me a chance.
You need one turn first, don't you? You need a first turn.
Yep, to believe in me. And I practiced the, you know, when you just say yes to things, there's an opportunity to say yes and worry about how to do it later.
Sure, yeah.
We're not talking brain surgery here.
Yeah.
I can operate on your brain, absolutely, and I can fix it and make it perfect and whoa. Can't fucking do that, but can you MC at an event? You know, you either say yes or you say no. And I thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
So COVID came along and stopped all the other MCs being able to be flown in to events. And suddenly when people were doing things in Adelaide, they were asking people, do you know an MC? And they're like, I think Chanel's doing that. I think Chanel can do that. I couldn't really, if I'm honest, but I kept putting my hand up to say, sure, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Paid off now. I get loads of gigs. But at the same time, then I had to quite literally pretend. Yes.
But I think also in that case, everyone needs to work out what is my actual ability. It's being honest with yourself. You probably had a lot going on that led you to that point where
I did.
First, you put yourself in that position to be asked to do that. There's a reason someone approached you, because you obviously have something that you can offer. And, you know, you seem to know, like, you would be the kind of person to know how to do it.
It was so not like my first time with a microphone.
Dentist, and then they've gone, can you MC something? You've gone, sure, it's my secret dream.
There's a lot of people that do that.
That's
the CEO.
Right. That's right. So that's a different thing entirely. And so most people will fail in that case. Or if they do succeed, they've slipped through the cracks, and then you go, what the fuck? How did Darren get that job? You go, Jesus, his shit. And then, okay, that might float for a bit. A couple of years later, that company's bankrupt or whatever, you know. So I think there was something obviously inside you anyway that you led you to that point, right? So you need to be very honest with what you can do when you say yes to something as well.
Yes. You know someone, didn't you, that said yes to a job and then afterwards went, fuck, I now need to do this.
Actually, in the first case, it was someone who I think they were, you know, they'd done jobs like at college where they're making coffee and doing all these little menial tasks, and someone said, in event marketing or management or something, and someone said, oh, could you manage this festival, we'd love you to apply for the job. So they conflated their resume, got the job, and then went, fuck, 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 went home and cried and freaked out. Like, fuck, fuck, I got the job.
Still fine on paper, right?
Yeah, then gave themselves a good old slap and said, look, you're a smart person, college education, this is what you're aiming to do anyway. You know what? You can probably do it. They did it. It was awesome. It's the same thing, right? It's just, like you said, saying yes. But also a very famous story was from Reese Witherspoon, who apparently auditioned for a film, and they asked her if she could ride horses. And she said, yes.
Yes.
Very confidently. Yes, I can ride horses. She can't ride horses.
I think it's how you say it too. So if you go, yes, but you know that's a lie immediately.
Well, she got the job, you know.
Yeah, but you could just see it. Yes, I do. Yes. You're thinking, you fucking have no idea how to do that.
I
but anyway, they were hoping she did. She said yes, regardless of the tone and pitch.
That's right. But then afterwards she probably went, well, I've been on a horse. I can do little things. And then they've gone, well, okay, you need, we'll help you. Then no one's going to question it, right, afterwards, once you're there.
She went to our version of the wool shed on those bucking things.
Probably.
What do they call them?
Yeah, like those electrical bulls.
We're getting electrical bulls. Yeah, we're talking Miranda in Sex and the City here, where she's like, wow, she rips her top off. She's on the thing with her boobies flapping
liberated.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I tell you, can you imagine most of us going on that thing with our tops off?
No, it would hurt. That's all I can think of. Hurting.
You watch porn and boobs look a certain way. But if you look at all of us women and the way our boobs flop and sag and go this way and go that way, there's no shade in this at all. But I'm laughing if we were topless on one of those mechanical balls, what that would look like.
I would not want that videoed in slow-mo. It's like last night I was lying on my side and my
don't lie on your side.
Tit fell out of my pajama top, which was like a singlet top, and I looked at it and it was long and hanging down like a zucchini, and I've gone, whoa, look at that. And I said, Kai, look at that. He goes, yeah, I saw it, but I didn't want to say anything and make you feel bad. I'm like, how can you look at this thing? We have to stop and laugh and look at what is happening to my breast.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Out the side.
Yeah. And I've gone, oh, well.
And you look, I'm no feeling. It. You're touching it, I'm going, like, no feeling.
It's just, I'm like, it's numb. Just, there's nothing in it. Move.
It's a sack.
It's a sack zucchini.
Yeah.
So that was a sad. What was actually?
And then you
what?
Went. That's what we'll make for dinner tomorrow night. We're gonna have a zucchini slice.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Thanks for the inspiration, breasts. But you know, like I didn't care. I'm past it. But it's just an observational.
It's an observational moment.
Anyway,
so that went sideways.
Absolutely did.
As did your tits.
As did my tits.
Beautiful
nightmare.
Parenthood's another one, isn't it? That's all everyone's doing is faking it until they make it.
Yep.
That's all you can do. And we try as much as we can to do the best for our kids, and then we go to bed at night thinking, fuck, did I do that right? Oh, well, you got to get on with it.
The problem is, I think we've got a lot of people telling us how to manifest and how to get what we want and lead the lives we want, and most of it requires it us getting the feeling or the thought right in our head first, and then we go and do it or try to put it in practice. But we're at a loggins with ourselves on the inside. Do you know what I mean? We're constantly arguing with ourselves because we're going, I want to do that and that manifest thing, and they say this and how simple it is, and I'm going to try it. And then you have this self-deprecating thought going on. We are like on these swinging and roundabouts kind of seesaw. I don't know what this stupid piece of equipment is at the playground, but it swings one way and then swings back the other and swings one way and swings around the other. And it's just that's what we're doing in our brains, because we want the best for our kids and our family, and we're trying to manifest it right, and it all just fucks up.
Absolutely. And you do that thing where, for example, you know, food. With the food, with the kids.
Yeah.
You go around telling all your friends, actually, you know, like I prepped heaps of meals this week and I, you know.
Do you want a gold star?
And that week everyone ate stuff and you're in this false sense of security, like, okay, they're eating it. This is fantastic. My life is really chilled. Why didn't I do this before?
Tomorrow.
Gets to the next day, you're like, run out of meals. Now I have to do this again? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then it falls apart. You're right back where you started and everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you go, come on, we can only try these things. You get to a certain point, but, you know, you can't do everything. You can't be all these perfect things and try all the best things, do all the organic things, punish your kids in the right way, or be gentle parenting. Mm. Make sure you're all of the above, please.
Yeah, it's not possible.
It's not. It's impossible.
You know, if we were cave ladies, we wouldn't have anywhere near this amount of crap, would we?
Oh, there'd be no internet, there'd be no TV. You'd just be saying, ugh, which is what I want to say most days. And that would be enough.
The kids
that
would be enough. Be so happy playing with sticks.
And that's it.
Your husband fucks off and goes and or your partner, I should say, and goes and fetches meat or something, whatever they're doing in their little boys' club.
Yeah.
You're left with your mates in a cave.
With your baby.
For most of the day. You don't need to go to Coles because they're doing it.
That's right. I wish Kai would bring home the meat. Oh, make life easier. But yeah.
He's a vegetarian if anyone's missing what that means.
Yes, that's right. It's like with body image. Like I often will, you know, you tell your kids, you know, focus on it, or they say, oh, you know, my hair looks yuck, or I hate this, or I hate this, my face, or whatever the thing is, and we're meant to be all, hey, you're awesome just the way you are. It's not about what you look like. You love you. You know, all the things. I don't need to tell you about it. Then we go look in the mirror that night and we're like, you stupid fatty fat. Who do you think you are? Nothing fits. I hate myself.
Oh, I'll tell you something. The other week I had an event and I had a really nice dress that I'd got to wear for this MC gig. And I'd done my hair and makeup, put me stupid false eyelashes on, and went out to see Summer. And I thought, I wonder what she'll say.
Uh-oh.
She'll probably say, you look really nice, Mummy. That dress is nice. I thought, I'm fishing for compliments from my 8-year-old. Here we go. So out I go.
Not even your husband.
Nah. He'll come for the goods. That's fine. But I was fishing for compliments from her. And I walked out and just kind of stood there.
Oh, my God. This is
like a dickhead, right? And I just went, hi, Summer, like this. And she looked at me and she went, you look bad, Mummy. And I went,
oh, she's a little
ding dang dong. There goes my, and I know I looked nice.
She's so real.
I
was like,
but do you want to know why she did it?
Because she knew you wanted it.
No.
She can feel your energy.
No.
Why?
None of the above.
Oh.
She actually said to me, I think you look really pretty when you just wear your tracksuit and no makeup, Mummy.
Oh, she's making a point. Yes. Smart.
So, because I tell her how beautiful she is and she won't need makeup and how wonderful her hair can be messy and she's still, and the most important thing for her to be beautiful is her heart, beautiful on the inside. I say all those things, and that little regurgitator has just gone and said the same thing to me in her own way. Spat it back out. But because I'm standing there in a nice dress and nice makeup and nice hair, which I rarely do, I'm fishing for compliments, but she's gone and served me it back saying, I think I'm trying to make you know that you don't need that to look beautiful, Mum.
Yeah. Wow. And how did you feel in that moment?
Totally understood. And I said, I get that, Sum, and I love that.
But right now, Mummy needs you to say I look fucking amazing.
But I'm just wearing a nice dress, I thought I'd show you. And she went, you do look nice in that dress, Mum. But it was the way the comment just came. She said, you look bad, Mum.
Oh, you look bad.
because she was trying to tell me that I didn't need that.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
I tell her that.
And not so many, in some terrible words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
her intention was gold.
Mm, yeah, that's true. Kids do that. Skylar doesn't like it when I dress up, to be honest.
She likes she was a trash bag scarecrow.
Yeah, she thinks it doesn't look like me.
Yeah.
Is what it is. She wants mummy who she knows, you know, exactly yep. what you said.
The beautiful nightmare.
So this is more or less practice what you preach. Same thing with the body image. It's like sleeping. We, you know, we want our kids to go the fuck to sleep all the time. We tell them it's good for them. They need their sleep so that they can wake up early and not be tired for school, blah, blah, blah.
What are you doing?
And then we, yep, and then we stay up till midnight watching Netflix, keeping your eyes open with matchsticks.
Yeah.
Have you done that though where you know you should be sleeping right now? I want to, my body's telling me, go to sleep.
Did it on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
After the show, went back to our friend Amber's who we're staying with, and I knew we had a show the next night. I'm so tired. Oh, holy hell, because we got the red eye out of Adelaide to get to Melbourne. I'm so tired.
Yeah, we should have gone to bed.
I fucking stayed up.
I know. Why didn't we go to bed? I think it's because we knew that we had...
FOMO.
We knew we had a... We could have slept in.
And we didn't because you were up at Sparrow's Fart.
Because I couldn't
making
sleep.
Noise.
I wasn't making
you. You were. You went to the toilet. You came back
sorry.
In, opened the door.
Sorry for doing a wee.
And then I'm awake now at your time of being awake. That was all
next
that.
Next gig, we're having separate rooms with separate toilets. So you can peep and poop whenever you want.
Separate showers. But it is. But when you're in the bed with someone, usually if it's in the morning and they wake up to do something.
You're going to wake up a bit.
That's it.
It just is what it is.
So the point of that was we had every intention of sleeping in. But the body clock where the kids will wake you up or something like that will yeah. wake you up anyway, and then you're tired for the rest of the day.
Yeah, which happened because then I did go into a bit of a slump at some point. Yeah, yeah, I know. So I think we don't do ourselves any favours
no.
with that. And we know it, but we know it. But sometimes you don't want to always do the right thing. It's boring to do the same thing every day.
I know.
And you know that you shouldn't be drinking that extra bottle of red wine, but it's fun.
And it made sense at the time. You wake up and you go, oh, yeah. mouth's the bottom of a birdcage or
yeah,
something like that.
Dirty old cocky's cage.
I do think there's something torturous in there about that. You know, trying to manifest and trying to do the right thing and trying to get the dialogue right in our brains. And then that other part of us, what we're actually doing, is really tricky where we're constantly checking ourselves at every point,
yeah.
both what we're thinking and what we're doing by our actions. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, entirely.
We're checking the whole thing because who's looking at us? Who's judging us? Ourselves probably most of all because we're measuring up to an unrealistic level. But that's probably most of the reason why we are so tired. That's why we want to be cave ladies and go all day long and not do much because they didn't need to think to the level of overload that we are. It was stay away from a lion.
That's right.
Someone that's going to eat you, some animal that will eat you. That's probably about it.
And we've carried on those you know, our DNA, that fight or flight, all of those sorts
That's
of
right.
things, but made everything a lot more complicated in this imagined reality that we've created. But anyway, but it makes you think, of course, this is why we all want to go live on an island, just be on the island, make it life simple, not have to deal with all this shit.
Yeah.
So what about pretending everything is all good when it's not? You know, they say put on a brave face, for example. And I was reading something that said, pretending all is well delays the process of dealing with your feelings. This has the unfortunate consequence of often making them seem bigger than they really are.
Yep.
The saying goes, a burden shared is a burden halved. You like to say that a lot.
Yep.
More or less. But you can't share the burden when you're invested in making everything look neat and smooth.
Well, our subconscious wears it, doesn't it?
That's right.
And it's like this layer cake scenario that once you kind of put that cherry on top, that's might be the moment where you're overloaded, you have this big cry moment, you blame everything on your period and it's not necessarily that all the time. It's all the other things that we put on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's that
because
we're not dealing with these little things.
No, we're not. But I think we're taught to, well, you know, get on with it. Bloody get on with things. And sometimes, well, I think there's a truism in that smiling does make you feel better. It actually does, scientifically speaking. Makes you feel a bit more positive, but it goes beyond that. Like we're telling everyone, especially our kids now, feel your feelings. It's important to have the whole gambit of emotions, just not the happy ones.
It's like we've given up on ourselves and we're just putting all the good energy and talking and all the good stuff into the little ones, the next generation, whether it be, even if you don't have kids, could be your nieces and nephews, all that sort of stuff, your friends' kids. And we're like, well, we give up, which is crap because – another one of my favourite sayings that I actually made up, pretty proud of that, is you're all the person you'll be the day you die.
Okay, yes, it's true.
So you can't give up on yourself. You need to. You can't just put all this good energy and good talk into the little generation who we're forming and moulding to be better for our world. We can't let us go at ages 30 through to 55. We've still got a chunk to live.
That's right. To evolve.
To our fullest, So the mental torture of all that is exhausting and I wish there was an off button. I wish there was a remedy to do better.
Just a pause.
Yeah.
I wonder what we will be like when we're like what, like 70s, in our 70s. What's it all going to be like? I was thinking we're going to, because I've noticed this recently, I'm already the mindset of
a 70-year-old?
Of a 70-year-old. Of a generation almost out of here, you know, like why is that? Because we're not jumping on board as quick with what's going on with this young generation.
The young generation.
See, even the way I'm talking. Oh, my God.
Woke.
Yeah. Well, and that's a whole part of it is like.
And most of us still go, can I remind myself what that means?
you know what I mean? Well, we didn't grow up with it. So now we're going like our parents' generation. What do you mean? You know, technology and bloody technology and bleh.
It's because it's evolving so fast.
Yeah, you got to go along with it and learn it, which is harder for us because we're not born into it. It's a lot different. You know.
So are you saying you're basically a 70-year-old woman mindset at your age now?
No, I'm not, but we're getting there. It's happening. I think we have to have more compassion, even though we may disagree with, say, the older generation at the moment and we go, oh, for God's sake, there goes Darren on his, you know, bloody Ryan. Woke. What's this woke business? It's shit.
Yeah.
Okay, all of these people saying these things, there's a reason that they've got that opinion. Okay, but we need to be a bit compassionate. Yelling at Brian or Darren is probably not going to help the situation.
Maybe. How would you help Brian or Darren? Go on. I would
help them understand by having a healthy debate, about it without getting all riled up because we do get riled up. Yeah. But we need to remember we're going to probably be those people, not necessarily Darren
when
and Brian.
New situations are presented.
We're going to have to struggle with concepts that we're not used to.
I think just generally if your heart's in the right place and your intentions are in the right place to learn or to evolve or to take on board, then you're 90% of the way there. The
beautiful nightmare.
Essentially with faking it till you make it, it's about being discerning as to are you being a big fat liar? Be true to yourself. Be genuine in how you do it, but also be confident. You know, I think everyone knows their ability and their competency in something, but have confidence in saying yes.
Yeah.
And saying thank you.
I think it helps having in your circle, there's people that will tell you the truth and do it in a loving way. So I think, and we're not talking about whether someone's going to point out that I absolutely don't have a Lamborghini or not, but it's nice to be surrounded by those people that can give you some honest truths about things. So when they give you a compliment, you know you can take it on board. And when someone says, your hair looks nice, say, thank you.
Yes.
And when someone says you've got a nice top and your boobs look great, say, thank you. What else?
And full stop. Your eyebrows look great today, Chanel.
Do they?
Yes. Look at them. they really frame your face beautifully.
Sorry.
You
shut your mouth. She doesn't mean that.
See, listen to her. She cannot even take it on the podcast.
I'm telling you
why. She just told me to shut my mouth. I've said, I like your eyebrows, and she's gone, shut your mouth. Got a little learning to do, Chanel. Listen to this
episode. I'm telling our listeners where this is coming from. So
no,
Tamara.
Cutting it.
No, she's not. We were on the plane. I decided to pay a flight attendant a compliment on her eyebrows, right? And Tamara said to me, why did you do that? Do you even like them? I said, they were a bit big, but she put a lot of effort into them. So I wanted to give her a compliment, right? That was where it was.
Yeah.
So you're now commenting on my,
sorry.
This is where this is coming from.
Yeah. I feel like I'm also, you've missed something in that little story.
Uh-huh.
Why did you give her a compliment?
Forgot.
Oh, how are did you? I think it's, she goes, yeah, you'd be really nice to them and they'll look after us. That's what you said.
Oh.
She'll give us more drinks. You know, she might maybe upgrade us. Who knows? Be nice to them.
You should be nice. You should be nice to everybody, shouldn't you?
You should be nice, but you don't have to give them fake compliments.
It wasn't fake. It was 80% there.
And you did not like those eyebrow shapes.
I know. I did like them. They were probably a bit bushy for to have on me, but they shaped her face nicely. And her face, her name was Tamara.
What's that got to do with it?
I'm just saying. Felt a connection with her.
Okay, Chanel.
Good night.
The Beautiful Nightmare is produced by Frankie Media and hosted by Chanel Franklin and Tamara Linke.
Want to know more about us?
Get in touch at thebeautifulnightmare.com or jump on our socials.
Wow, you can really make a podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.